king was looking down. The jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned.
Welcome to the Square Peg Show 2-part finale. I'm Mike.
And I'm Jesse.
It's been 2 months since our last episode, Jesse.
Holy crap.
And
what have we been doing with our lives?
The last one was called It's All Culminating to Cyborg. It was about the DC slate of movies.
Yes.
So I just said 2-parter. The second part, which will be out the day after this one, will be all about the Marvel slate. I mean, Marvel and DC very considerate releasing these schedules the last two episodes of the show. So I'm really looking forward to getting into Big Hero 6, which I saw. You didn't see that.
I have not yet.
And then you know, obviously all the new Marvel movies that they released through 2019, the ones they announced.
Right. So
that should be a lot of fun. But first, for this one, I want to catch up on the last 2 months of news and talk about the Star Wars and Mad Max trailers.
Yes.
Where would you like to begin?
Let's start with some news.
All right. I didn't do too much research because between the trailers and Sony, the whole Sony hack.
Yes.
That's been dominating the headlines for quite a while now. If you haven't been following this story, suddenly there was some news that a lot of the emails between Sony executives have been leaked. Mm-hmm. And also apparently like the, you know, social security numbers of employees at Sony and all this stuff. And there was speculation that it was related to, if not North Korea directly, then endorsed by North Korea.
Right.
Because Seth Rogen and James Franco had a movie coming out on Christmas Day called The Interview.
Yes.
So you hear all this gossip about what Sony executives are saying about this or that, and then you start hearing the news that, A, so many major theater chains were saying, we're not going to show this movie because we have direct threats that something bad is going to happen.
They're going to bomb our theater,
Then, part two was Sony saying, okay, we're not going to release the movie at all.
Right.
The next news is that we're not even going to, I don't know if you've seen this part yet, we're not even going to release it on video on demand or DVD.
Right.
And then some, I consider patriotic theater owners were saying, let's release Team America
Team
World
America,
Police.
Yes.
And Paramount nixed that.
Oh, man.
So between all these things, the idea that you can't make fun of a very make funnable dictator over on the other side of the world without repercussions nowadays, it kind of gets like my blood boiling just a little bit.
Right.
Your thoughts on this whole thing?
Okay, I'm not a fan about how we've reacted to this because it kind of feels like we just broke to terrorist pressure. However, at the same time, I can also imagine what hackers on this side of the world would have done if they would have made a movie about killing our president or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, shit's gonna fly no matter what in this kind of a situation. It just sucks that, like, okay, even the Team America thing, that probably has me more pissed off than anything. Because honestly,
I love the movie.
The Interview probably would have been a horseshit movie as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't know.
I don't care if it was not another movie or one of those, like, bad parodies or the latest Twilight. I don't know. I get very, you know, enraged. And I think that Americans respect the idea of free speech. Technically, this is not a free speech issue because the government isn't censoring the movie. Right. Sony self-censored the movie.
Right.
But still, to say, hey, we're not releasing the movie at all, when, according to the government, there's no real credible threat. I mean, first of all, the threat was, oh, you better not do this, or there's going to be shit happen. When's the last time a terrorist ever, they want people to die, right? So it just sounded very hollow, but maybe they have some information that we don't have.
Right.
But I don't know.
It's all kind of shitty, but I mean, at the same time, it's not like we're deprived of some sort of amazing, fantastic movie, and I'm like, whatever. It's up to them whether they want a shit can and lose that much money, because they just lost a shit ton of money, like a lot. Because if it's not coming on DVD, it's not coming on video on demand, it's not going to any theater whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean,
the free speech argument, I mean, here we are recording a thing that I hope Kim Jong listens to.
Oh yeah, he's one of our seven subscribers.
Our our free speech hasn't been hurt, really.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Seth Rogen has made some pretty good movies, I think. This is the End. Did you ever get around to seeing
it? I actually didn't. I've heard really good things.
Really, though. Really funny. Yeah. I agree. When I saw the trailers for this, yeah. I'm not expecting like a masterpiece, right. comedic masterpiece or something. It was just a little weird, yeah. all this news. Apparently, our government did disconnect that it actually was North Korea, because mm-hmm. there was all this speculation that the hackers, right. You know, that is kind of a country that's sealed off from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. So they thought maybe they didn't even have hackers that could do this.
Right.
Maybe they weren't as advanced as, like, some other groups that could do it, but we'll see.
I want to know what Anonymous says about this whole thing, and, you know.
We need some vigilantism up in here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I've always heard, you know, Anonymous is not your personal army and everything, but come on, guys, get over there.
Yeah.
What they probably will do is they will probably get a copy of the movie and then spread it all over the internet. It's probably what Anonymous will do.
There's another movie that was slated to come out that was a more serious movie, mm-hmm. and it was starred Steve Carell, who was in a dramatic role, and it was about North Korea, and they've shelved that one, too.
Oh, I didn't know
all
that.
Of a sudden, this idea, I like the idea that we can make fun of anybody in the world if right. we want to, or do a serious movie about anybody in the world, and all of a sudden, now, something's off limits.
Right.
It's very strange. Moving on to the next story, though, I want to get your reactions about two trailers.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think it's this time next year, Star Wars Episode 7 will be out.
Yes.
The trailer made big news. And mm-hmm. then the other one, Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes. I know I said this to you, and I've said it to a couple people, but I love Mad Max, but it was not because of their special effects. And practical effects are fantastic, but when practical effects are on a green screen, it just oozes, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm worried you're mistaking real practical effects for special effects. I think they did the majority of those car explosions and jumps.
I'm sure
and
they
costuming
did.
And
I'm sure they did, but I mean, it feels so okay. This is gonna sound weird for a Mad Max thing, but it feels so unrealistic. I mean, like all of these guys are just running into the sandstorm, and then like cars are flying up into the sky and such, and
like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. And, I mean, okay, whenever I used to watch Mad Max as a kid, now the first one, and Jacob will disagree, but the first one I didn't like at all. I thought it was disconjointed and kind of bullshit. The second one, Road Warrior, I was a big fan of, but it was, like, in the desert. It's a struggle to survive every single day. He has to eat dog food, you know what I mean?
I thought Road Warrior was the first one.
Original Mad Max, everything was still green. It wasn't, like, post-apocalyptic in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, all right.
And according to Jacob, he was actually saying that it happened, because he's a big fan, but he said it actually happened, it took place after the war. It was just before everything got terrible, or probably because of money constraints that they couldn't go out and film in the desert, so they just kind of had to film whatever they could. Anyway, Road Warrior was the one I really liked, but it felt a bit more real, even though there was a guy running around in a little chopper, and one guy was in, like, half naked, but with, you know, leather and spikes, or whatever.
So when you see the trailer for Fury Road,
yes.
Are you saying, it's not my type of thing, are you saying I'll go see it probably?
Oh, I'll go see it. Okay. I'll see it for sure.
Just a little bit hesitant.
Yeah, but I'm just like, I mean, they're going to have to sell me on a lot of things to get over this sandstorm and
Tom Hardy
effects.
And Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
From what I hear, it's pretty much a 1.5 hour, I don't know how long it is, it's a movie length action sequence.
Yeah.
How often do you get to see that?
The Matrix.
Particularly the second one, which yes. had like a 40-minute one by the time I was done watching this.
What have we done?
But I thought it looked like a really good time at the movies.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping.
I have high hopes. I'm just worried that those hopes will be dashed.
As for Star Wars, I want to like pick a nit here that I consider a teaser trailer mm-hmm. or a teaser. Same thing for Jurassic World when it came out. And yes. Did you see the Jurassic World teaser?
I didn't.
I felt like it completely failed. It basically showed you next to nothing.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a split second of something. But it didn't tease enough.
Right.
If you're going to do a teaser, you got to tease me. That sounded bad.
Yes, it did.
As for Star Wars, you get mm-hmm. kind of a pretty good picture, you know, just split second image of this. And mm-hmm. then another part of the world over here. And it looks great.
Does it?
No.
I actually haven't seen it.
Oh, dude, man.
No.
You
okay,
told
okay.
me that.
We need
Let's
to
stop the podcast.
It's fine. It's fine. We can talk about it. This is the thing. Okay, for whenever the prequel movies came out, the second trilogy came out, I decided then that you know, I'm never going to get another shot at this. I want to completely walk into that theater without having seen any promotional material or as little as I could.
Because you were assuming those were the last Star Wars movies ever made.
Right, exactly.
Okay, right.
And, you know, I didn't want to see any trailers. I wanted to walk in there like a newborn baby and watch Star Wars. You know what I mean? And maybe it didn't pan out so great because George Lucas kind of destroyed those movies. But I feel like I'm going to get a much bigger payout this time around. So I've gone completely media blackout as far as Star Wars.
Deliberate
is concerned.
Choice not to watch
yes.
this.
Deliberate.
You're going to do this for a whole year?
Yes. I'm going to do
this. I commend you.
I'm going to do this for all three
Hats
movies.
Off.
All three movies. Listen, I did it for the original, the second, you know, the prequel trilogies.
Yeah.
And I worked at a movie theater. So if I was able to do it there, I could.
And
I
you're
could
avoiding
it
news about it as well.
As much as I can, yeah.
I wish I could do that more often because I really do think the payoff is better.
Yeah.
Now, Star Wars is an interesting situation. One, it is pretty much the first big franchise in cinematic history. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say? 1977,
yeah.
Star Wars came out. It had the trilogy concept. The second movie
right.
ended on a down note so mm-hmm. they could build to the third. Had that happened in movies before then?
Not to my knowledge.
And then I also think it's not only, obviously, one of the biggest properties of all time, but also the one that fans are happy the creator is no longer involved with.
Yes, yes.
Which is an interesting situation.
Very, very strange.
Because, I mean, you got three movies that, I'm sorry, sucked so much, right?
Okay, all right, if we're going to talk prequels here.
Yeah, let's talk prequels. Because,
okay.
First of all, you and I can agree the first three are classics.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And once the prequels came out, you know, I was really excited, and I actually got to go to a theater and with a great crowd of people, and it was like applause whenever the Lucasfilm thing came up, all that kind of stuff. It was a big deal. I actually liked Episode One. It was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't fantastic. It was no
what?
Empire. Yeah, it was no Empire. If they'd have just picked Jar Jar right out of that movie, it'd have been actually fantastic. Now, Episode Two,
even the child actor with the podcast
okay,
race,
right. I would deal with him over Jar Jar
and all
the podcast or podcast race. Did we say podcast?
Did I say that?
I don't know. The pod race.
Yes.
I don't know. If
podcast
you
on the brain.
Yes.
And all the deliberations over like the tariffs and shit.
Actually, that's what I really liked about it, because it got really political.
Midichlorians?
Okay, midichlorians. Midichlorians was rough. All right,
do
but
I need
I'll,
to remind you
I
more?
I will still take all of these things over Jar Jar any day.
Okay.
But then Darth Maul happened. Remember Darth Maul?
Darth Maul
Remember
was
how
cool.
Fucking
Although
badass
he died
was?
Way too soon.
Yes, he did. But Liam Neeson was badass.
Liam Neeson my shit.
Was badass. Holy shit, that was awesome.
Mace Windu.
Yeah, fucking bad motherfucker of the galaxy. So, you know, I was okay. I was okay with that. Episode two happened, unfortunately, and while it does tell a whole lot of the political story that's happening, you know, why there's these sanctions on this place and who's pulling these strings and blah, 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 Hayden Christensen, to me, destroyed the whole franchise.
He's not a good actor.
He was bad. He was so bad. Now
I barely remember episodes two and three. I just want to give that a caveat right there.
Well, the second one was garbage. Dooku...
I just kind of was like in a stupor when I was watching it.
Yeah, I wish I was. But the whole Darth Dooku thing or whatever, Darth Dooku,
What?
Dooku. Count Dooku, that was his name.
Oh, right, Christopher Lee. Yeah. I forgot he was in that.
Whom I love.
Right.
It was horrible. His character was horrible.
Right. It was the writing.
Yes.
Above
yes.
all else, the yes. writing was sucked.
Yes.
And because people kind of idolized George Lucas from the first three movies mm-hmm. and forget that he had a very small role in writing those first three movies.
And forget that he only directed the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Irvin Kershner did the second one, and the other guy, I can never remember his name, did uh-huh. Jedi. And that's why those two movies, to me, were much better than the original. But, okay, all right, I'm getting off track here.
Yeah,
so,
there's so much to talk about.
Episode 2 blows nuts, and then Episode 3 came back, and it was much better. And I would actually say it was better than Episode 1. It was probably my favorite of the prequel movies. It closed everything else out pretty nice, except for Hayden Christensen. He was the one and only thing in that film I thought was just pure garbage, pulled everything down. So
you're more forgiving than I am. I just felt like there was no tension when it got to the big climactic thing. It was, you know, Anakin versus...
Obi-Wan.
At the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is whenever, you know, when they're going back and forth with their lines, when Hayden Christensen's on screen, you're just like, fucking choke me out. But then Ewan McGregor is on the other side, and you're like, okay, all right, this isn't so bad.
I feel
then it
bad for
again.
Ewan McGregor
too,
and Sam Jackson and all
too.
The other good actors
yeah,
in that movie.
I do too. But okay, so that's kind of where I was as far as that prequel trilogy was concerned. But there's some other big things that happened that shouldn't have happened or should have happened different. And like you said earlier, Darth Maul dies way too soon.
Yep.
He's an awesome villain. He's just like an attack dog. We already have the big villain. We already got Darth Sidious or whatever.
I guess the argument is, though, that Boba Fett only had a little bit of screen time. And right. then maybe kill the cool guy off way too quick, and then he's kind of still cool.
Well, see, that was my issue with Django. That's what they did with Django. Django shows up, and then he's immediately dead.
Are you talking about Django Unchained?
Django Fett.
Ah.
But, you know, whatever.
All right.
But you know what I mean? Like, the original trilogy had Darth Vader, and he was there in all three movies. And little did you know watching it as a child that the movies are all about him. It is actually his story. But, you know, he was there for all three movies. He was like an overwhelming force through the whole trilogy. Now we have Darth Maul, dead. Jango Fett, dead. Grievous, dead. So there's nothing that really carries over except for the Emperor. And honestly, who cares? He's old. And then they give him a lightsaber and he starts flipping around. Fuck you, movie. Oh, my God.
Wasn't he using the Force?
Fuck.
You can get some, like, geriatrics going on there. Bringing it back to kind of the trailer for the new one. First, I want to say I was working in retail in the year 1999. Mm-hmm. Phantom Menace coming out was the biggest fucking deal in like, retail history, it seemed like, because there were so many toys. I feel like they produced so many.
Yeah, they did.
Way too many.
Yes, they did.
And now I'm interested to see the merchandising aspect now that we got the new trilogy coming along. J.J. Abrams, the director of the new one, I think he released some character names via trading cards and stuff.
Yeah, awesome.
That kind of reminded me of the way that things used to be back in the day. You're in media blackout mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to know too much. Well, I'll just say that, you know, the trailer was very, you know, you could hear nerds squeal out in delight all around the world. Everybody loved it, basically, except for a few haters.
Yes.
So, it's looking good. Good prognosis. So.
Well, and that's what I've actually heard. I've actually heard a lot of people say that the feel of the trailer was actually really good. It was amazing to see all this in, like, super nice, crisp, clear, high-resolution Star Wars, you know what I mean? I'm glad that everything's back to this kind of used future feel to it, because that's what I loved about the original trilogy, was that it's, because, and it was kind of happened by accident, I believe, is that because of budget constraints, you know, they had to go out and get battleship model parts and glue a bunch of shit together to make it look like a space station. And then the prequels came out and they said, well, fuck that, we got CGI.
Right.
So
kind of something that Mike Mayhew talked about in our interview.
Yes.
It's like the original treatment for the first Star Wars was it exceeded any kind of capacity in 1977, budget-wise.
And he actually said there's no way they could have filmed that.
Yeah, but nowadays you can do what you want.
Nowadays you can. And
the question is whether it'll look good, but now we've gotten kind of some of the kinks out. J.J. Abrams being very good, I think, at making it look better than, say, George Lucas in 1999.
I want to say he actually said that he was going to try and keep the lens flares as low as possible.
Which is the big thing that he does. That's terrible.
Now, if we
can... Some of it looks like real ships, even if it's not real ships. They look real.
Yes. Now... If we could just jump like one little hop over as far as Star Trek is concerned, one of the news items that I heard that was pretty awesome was Jonathan Frakes, who played William Riker in The Next Generation, who also directed several of the Star Wars or Star Trek movies, is interested in directing Star Trek III.
Because the Star Trek III director, Robert Orci, I think his name was, recently dropped out for whatever reason. There's been kind of a push for that, right?
Now, there's part of me that says, okay, that's not going to work because that's not going to fit with the Star Treks that we've had so far in this series. On the other hand, I'm like, okay, a good director, fantastic. Let's fucking do this right now. I loved First Contact. It was like my favorite Trek movie ever.
He directed that one?
Yes. And you know what I mean? Like, I want to see that kind of stuff.
Sure.
From someone who lived and breathed it for, you know, 7 years. More than that, actually. Fuck yeah. Throw him in the seat. Let's see what he's got. I'm all about it.
Cool. All right. Well, we have covered the news items I didn't plan for much because we had a lot of movies to talk about and other stuff. Marvel news, like I said, we'll save for next time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump into the reviews. I'll go ahead and start with Black Mirror.
Yes, please.
Okay. Black Mirror is a British show that did 3 episodes in 2011, 3 more in 2013. You know how British TV works, right?
Were they like long episodes?
No. Like an hour.
Not like Sherlock, where it's like an hour and a half movie.
No.
Okay.
And they just did a Christmas special with John Hamm from Mad Men, yes. That I'm really looking forward to when it comes to Netflix. But the actual six episodes of this mission came out on Netflix a couple weeks ago. And the idea is, you know, if you hold up a tablet or a phone or something like that and you don't turn it on, it's the Black Mirror. Right. You're looking at, like, a dark reflection. So the idea is it's an anthology series, kind of like Twilight Zone, Outer Limits.
Right.
You take something like that. The idea is what happens if all our great technology and all this stuff leads to kind of a dark future, right? Mm. Now, it's more of an indictment on humanity than the actual technology, because you take a great piece of technology, and then you do something
terrible. People can do horrible shit with it, for sure.
So some of the plots for the six episodes are stuff like a woman whose husband had died, but a company could piece together everything he ever said on social media and every other thing that he ever said online and basically build his personality via phone records. Right, so she can still have an intimate relationship with him on the phone even after he had already died.
Weird.
Another thing is about you have a little chip right here behind your head, and you're actually, every time you use your eyes, you're recording every single thing you ever see.
Right.
And you can rewind and look at anything in your entire history, but the downside is it can really drive you mad. And I won't go into specifics for that one.
Huh.
I won't go into the other plots, but it's some thought-provoking stuff.
That's
and
awesome.
I love the idea that each one stand alone, right? Some of them succeed better than others.
Sure.
I felt like episodes 1 and 6 were not too good. 2 through 5, I felt like were really good.
Right.
Episode 2, probably one of the best hours of television I've seen in a very long time.
Awesome.
I highly recommend this for anybody with Netflix.
I know you sent me a link for it. And,
oh, duh?
Yep. And I was actually going to check it out, but I haven't gotten to it yet. But, I mean, that sounds really awesome. I'm all about that.
And it's... British TV, I feel like, can be edgier than American TV sometimes.
Yes, very much so.
And this one definitely does that. And I appreciate that about it, because it's not trying to shock just for the sake of it.
Right.
To me, they're telling really compelling stories and all that. Anyway, that's Black Mirror, though. You want to talk about something called...
Automata?
Yeah.
Yes. The first time I heard about Automata, I guess that's how you say it, Automata, I don't know, some shit. Anyway, it's an Antonio Banderas film. The first time I heard about it was just like a news blurb that said, Automata is the first robot movie to get robots right. So I checked out the trailer, and it was
the trailer, too.
It was a very cool trailer. It felt very kind of Blade Runner-esque, like this kind of dystopian future sort of thing. But there's these autonomous robots that are able to, you know, they're built to help people or to do work and things like that. And they're very, very realistic robots. They're humanoid, but, I mean, they're very realistic. So it's not just like iRobot with Will Smith. It's not like that. They're not like running and jumping and action sequence. Like, they're very slow-moving things, but, you know, they just function to help. So so I sat down and actually watched this movie, and the first thing I noticed is that it's all of their budget went into these actual robot props. Like, every bit of their budget went into it. They pulled...
Does that mean the other parts of the movie look shitty?
The other parts of the movie were not very good, because you could tell everything was done... Just about everything was done on a soundstage, except for whenever they have these desert scenes, because, you know, everything is devastated out in the world, except for these few small cities, I guess. And then the story very quickly starts to unravel, because it starts as, like, a really cool mystery, because one of the things is that a robot can never harm a human or allow a human to be harmed, just like Asimov said. But the second one was it's not able to alter itself or another robot. And then they're like, this machine is altering itself. How can that be possible? Antonio Banderas plays not an insurance, but he works for the company who developed them. And he's kind of an insurance investigator kind of thing. Someone says, my robot's not working. And he goes and tests it and says, you're full of shit. You're not getting any money. So he has to kind of track down why this robot has altered itself, and then runs into some other robots, and they're like, oh, we're going to have to go and free ourselves. And suddenly they're all like autonomous and artificial intelligent. And then the whole story just starts to unravel.
Because you just established the two rules at the beginning.
Right.
And they
break them.
Right.
Yes.
Which is your favorite thing.
Yeah. And then
we kind of telegraph the ending sometimes. Stories do, I mean.
Well,
don't you think?
Yes. But, I mean, what's cool is, like, that's not really the, I don't know. All I know is that it just starts to unravel and you start not giving a shit anymore. You're just like, just show more of the robots. I don't care about you talking or whining. I don't care.
Oh,
just show me more of the robots, because you're fucking ruining this for me. So it ended up not being very good. And it's worth a watch if, you know, for those low-budget fans out there, which I like that kind of stuff, but just bad writing. However, there is another movie coming out that's kind of a similar situation where a couple of guys create another robot. He's, but they, you know, they develop him to be intelligent. Artificial intelligence is built in. It's called Chappie. I don't know if you heard about this one, but Chappie is pretty much one of a kind, and he's just very much like a child. He has to learn everything from the get-go, sort of thing. But he's very human-like. Then everyone kind of turns against him because he's like this atrocity or something like that, you know. But that one actually looks pretty interesting. It's not out yet, but I want to check that out. So,
instead of the robot creature, whatever, turning against us,
right.
We turn against him.
We're turning it against him, yes.
Okay, that could be good.
Chappie, check that one out.
All right. You know, Elon Musk, Stephen Hawking, pretty big names in technology and science, have been warning about, like, I mean, in the real world, AI.
Horrible idea.
Absolutely. And when smart people are telling us this, I mean, as much as we love it in the movies, right. Apparently it's a pretty damn good idea to avoid giving artificial intelligence the ability to,
yes,
what, make sentient decisions, right, that could override. I don't know. It's weird to think that science fiction could become reality pretty damn soon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, this is the whole thing about artificial intelligence is that, number one, we are ways off from that ever even happening. We have to get into quantum computing, and we're not even scratching the surface of that. But the important thing is that if we created a life form that had that vast amount of knowledge, who could attach itself to the internet, which is this huge pot of information, and crunch that amount of information as fast as it can, we would seem to it very much like a roach seems to us. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's insignificant. It has no purpose as far as I'm concerned. I'm very much above this insect, and it would see us, I believe, the same way, because we're dullards compared to that.
You don't think it's going to happen?
I don't.
A takeover? If we allow, I'm saying, man, you know, Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It would be a horrible idea for us to do that, because it would destroy us.
Okay.
I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
And on that note, I want to review Interstellar at this point. Maybe we save it for the next episode?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Jesse has a few more things to say about where you can find us.
Hey, guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.